Hello and welcome to Jason and Ashley's Excellent Adventures. I'm Jason.
I'm Ashley.
And we never know how to start this podcast.
No.
I know, as music plays,
you usually tell people that this is a little bit more personal.
Oh, should I say that? Okay.
And that's
this
why
podcast is a little bit more personal, and it's about our excellent adventures through time, grabbing up Abraham Lincoln, Socrates, and Genghis Khan to fulfill our high school history report.
Jason, please. Genghis Khan.
Oh, yes, Genghis. Yeah, that's right. And Kublai.
I learned that from you.
I want Benedict Wong in my phone booth.
Hell yeah.
Kublai Khan. Ashley, as we're excellencing, adventuring, and personaling together,
yeah.
What are we talking about?
We are talking about how we both started writing today, because a lot of people here buy our writing, know that we are writers, ask us writing advice, want to be writers themselves. So we thought we would talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, as I lean back in my chair a little bit.
Get comfy.
Trying to get comfy. My chair is not secured.
Get cash. Your chair is loud.
Yes, it is. I need a new chair. Is that personal enough for you?
Sure.
All right, there we go.
Someone please send Jason a new office chair.
I don't want a new office chair. I want one of those gaming chairs.
Oh, do you really? Why?
Because Benny Potter and Sal of Comic Pop and Comic Storian, respectively, have told me that they're very, very comfortable and they hardly break. So they're a little bit more pricier, but I've heard they're comfortable.
Can't wait for that to be covered in cat hair.
Yes, because let you know, get a little more personal,
sure.
Listeners. I'm not wearing socks right now. Yes, I'm wearing socks. Actually, in my office chair, I have a pillow behind my back right now because, you know, the office chair is not that comfortable. No lumbar support.
Yeah, we both actually have pillows behind our backs.
So I would like a office chair that actually is an office chair and works
and types yes. 80 words yes. per minute.
All right, so what are we talking about again?
How we first started writing.
Okay, great. Socrates. All right, cool. You want to start?
Sure. Is Socrates the one who drank the hemlock, or is that another philosopher?
I think it's Plato. I don't know.
I don't remember. It's been a long time since classics. I was encouraged as a little child to keep a diary.
Did you?
Sort of.
You did it. You didn't. How did you sort of?
Sort of. I had a diary that was Anne of Green Gables themed because Canada.
Yep.
She was on the cover of it. And then there were lined pages and there were also like illustrations with little passages from the book inside of it. I never kept it regularly. My diary was always like a log. It was like I did this and this and this and this.
That's not terrible though. Sometimes they say that's enough.
And this and this and this and this. And then I would stop keeping it for months and months and months, and then I would start up again. And I just never got, to borrow the Marie Kondo like phrase, I never got any joy out of it. I never
enjoyed it.
It was always like a chore. But there was a little while where my mom would make us do it at the end of the day. Like we would sit and like
write in our journals. Do you know how old you were?
Six or 7 years old.
Wow, that's pretty young.
Pretty young. So it was like, I want to go to KFC to get the kids' meal to get the Pikachu Pokemon toy.
Is that a real
Pikachu
entry from your diary?
Pikachu is so cute. Yes, I remember that one vividly.
All right. Do you still have this diary, by the way?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know if I like threw it out as a teenager being like, why would I ever want to keep this or not? I do remember this was around the same time that my dad got really sick and was in the hospital for a long time and had a liver transplant. And they pulled us out of school because he was in a hospital several towns over. And
like how long was the drive?
Like 3 hours.
3 hour drive. Okay.
It was like the best facility, so that's why he was there. Mm-hmm. So we were staying with our grandparents. So we had a tutor. So we weren't in regular school, and I didn't write my diary that whole time. And 4 months when you're 6 years old is a long time.
Oh yeah. Summer vacations. Do you remember summer vacations lasting forever?
So long.
It seemed so long.
Now, yeah. Man, it's sure been 100 years since January.
Well,
but when we were driving back home, finally, like when my dad was well enough that we could go back home, I remember sitting in the back seat behind my mom, writing in that diary and being like, we're finally gone. We're going home. We've been gone for so long.
Now I'm going back to KFC to get the other Pikachu toy.
I never got that Pikachu toy from KFC.
Oh my God.
I will have you know.
Listeners, the very few listeners out there, of course, it'd have to be Canadian KFC.
I would assume it would be the same as American. I assume the toys would be.
Do you know what year this is?
It would have been like 96 or 97.
Okay, in 1996 or 1997, there is a KFC Pikachu toy.
I think it was plush. I don't remember.
It might have been plush. It might have been plastic. It might have been made of wood. We don't know whether it was
probably
a vegetable or a mineral, but can you find it?
If you anyone, send it to us, we'll put it on the set.
If anyone knows where we can hunt this down, let's fulfill this dream. Let's make sure Ashley gets an A on her history report and find this Pikachu toy from KFC.
Pikachu's not
specifically
even...
KFC. Did you see the TV commercial?
I must have. But
I know you don't like KFC.
I don't. I think I probably liked it as a kid. But I remember those two entries very vividly.
Okay. Yeah.
When I started writing fiction was when I first saw Lord of the Rings, I was like, I want to do that. That's what I'm going to be when I grow up. And I just rewrote the scripts to the movies, but like self-inserted a character who like went along with them. And I have those notebooks at my mom's.
What was the name of your character?
Neville Ariel Evenstar LSR Telkontar.
Oh my God. What species?
She's half elf, half human.
Half elf, half human.
Yeah, she was Arwen and Aragorn's daughter because, of course.
Aragorn, she's okay, from the future?
No, like in Lord of the Rings.
So they boned somewhere off camera.
Yeah.
Okay, so where did your character join the Fellowship?
This is so embarrassing.
I want to know.
So she had been traveling with her family and gotten separated from them. Mm-hmm. And been thrown into a river and carried up to Hobbiton and found by like Frodo and Sam and Merry and Pippin and like healed. And then she went with them when Gandalf was like, take the ring to Rivendell. She was like, I know where Rivendell is. That's where I live. She went with them.
Like my mom and dad boned in secret there.
Well, Arwen and Aragorn actually met like several decades before the events of Lord of the Rings and have been secretly seeing each other. So the idea that they could have children is not completely
but
out of line.
Would Elrond let this bastard walk around Rivendell? Come on.
I don't think so. Elrond is kind of a softie for Arwen and the twins. Because Arwen has twin brothers, by the way.
But Elrond wouldn't even...
He
didn't want to give the sword back to Aragorn.
Yes, he did.
I mean, at first he didn't want to do it.
Well, the sword was broken. It was never supposed to be reforged.
I know. So I'm just saying. He's not a big...
I'll share this too because I think it was Chris Arendt of Newsarama, a lovely gentleman, posted recently and was like, tell me about your fan fiction. And I definitely shared this one. So before that... But I only did this one for fun. I was very serious about my Lord of the Rings fan fiction. Before that, when I was reading the Harry Potter books, I wrote Harry Potter fan fiction and self-inserted, but we also had Digimon.
You self-inserted yourself.
Yeah, totally.
That's so funny. All right. All right. Cool.
And that's where I started. That was like the first things that I wrote. But I was very serious about it.
And now Ashley's the captain of the Enterprise.
At the time. and then obviously... I think fan fiction is great.
I've never done it.
I don't think people should share it because it's embarrassing. I don't think you should be able to like become a big name fan because you write fan fiction. But I think doing it because it's something that you love and if that helps you start writing, I think there's nothing wrong with that.
No, I don't think there's anything wrong with it either. I've never done it.
Interesting. I think it's something that strikes women more than men.
I think so,
speaking
too.
In broad strokes,
I think so,
of course.
Too. It's also interesting to hear your ideas that you wanted to be a part of those worlds. You wanted to be in those worlds, and that's how you expressed it through writing.
Well, remember the part where I told you I had a sick dad? That's probably why.
Oh, sure.
There's probably a bit of escapism going on.
Yeah.
But those were like the first few things I ever wrote. I'm so embarrassed that
I think
told
it's great.
The internet.
Did you change the name of Lord of the Rings?
Was
it the Lord of the Ashley?
No.
Fellowship of the Ashley?
No, there were just like 10 of us instead of 9.
What was your fake elf name again?
Neville Ariel Evenstar LSR Telkontar.
I can't believe you still remember it.
I remember like vividly so many details about that.
Give us one more.
Here's another one I'll throw out, and I'll embarrass my best friend. My best friend's name is Lisa Lee. She's a vegan food blogger, the Viet Vegan. Go follow her and harangue her. She wrote them with me. She was my cousin, and her character's name was Farianan, Feynorianan, Elrohir.
What happened to your character?
We used to write letters to each other as these characters.
Oh, Lord. I can just imagine... the Canadian Post Office somehow inspecting your mail and being like, are these terrorists? What are these?
We would address them like to the character. Like my mom knew like my elvish name and everything. She still knows it. Yeah, man. It was. I still have all those letters. I kept all those
letters. Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
at the end of Return of the King, mm-hmm. what happens to your characters?
Well, she becomes the Princess of Gondor.
Okay.
Because, duh.
All right, but what happens to Lysa's elf, half-elf?
Oh, so because, so after Lord of the Rings, Elrond leaves.
Yes.
But Pharaohnin stays, and she becomes the Lady of Rivendell.
But there's nobody else in Rivendell. Everybody else is gone.
Well, people still go to Rivendell. There's just no elf. She was the last elf.
So random passerbys still go to Rivendell. She's like, hey, you want some food?
It's an elven. It's a refuge. You could stay there.
I'm lonely. No? Okay,
someone
bye.
Someone must have lived there. It was like a beautiful structure.
I just, in my head.
Jason knows her as well.
In my head, I imagine Pippin and Merry going to Rivendell.
Oh, no. My character married Pippin.
Your character married Pippin?
Yeah, he became the Prince of Gondor.
Oh, good God. Let's just go with me. Sure. Let's just say that didn't happen in your version. Let's say, in my head, I imagine that Pippin and Merry casually stroll to Rivendell.
To
get second breakfast every other week.
Sure.
And Lysa Elf.
Pharaohnin
just gives it to them because she's bored.
I have like none of her permission to be sharing that.
She's like, she sees them and they're like, oh, do you have more conies? And she's like, hey, let me tell you about the moss in the tree. And they're like, no, that's good. Give us more potatoes.
Yeah.
All right.
So tell me about how you started writing, Jason.
I don't know how I started writing. I did the little kid thing that I drew comic books. Mm-hmm. Like I drew a terrible Batman comic book. Batman fought the Penguin.
Do you still have that?
I think I do. Like 2 or 3 years ago was one of the last times I went home. I drove all the way back to Kansas and I grabbed everything. I grabbed almost every box except for one. I think my mom has like one box mm-hmm. left. But it's like sort of knick-knacky stuff that she wants as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when I did that, I pared down everything I had into a bunch of stuff. You might also weirdly hear an alarm in the background. I guess a fire alarm is going off.
In the next building over.
They go off all the time, so don't worry about everybody.
We're fine.
We're going to keep going.
If we die, you'll never hear this.
Yeah, there you go. So I grabbed a lot of the old notebooks I had mm-hmm. specifically because I was like, there might be something in there that I might one day do.
Didn't you find your Fantastic Four story?
Yes, I did. Because yeah. I way back in the day in I think high school or junior high, I wrote like my ideas for a 50 issue run on the Fantastic Four. And I remember I looked at that when I grabbed these books. And there are some good ideas in there. And I actually probably will do that idea. If I ever get the chance to Fantasy, I will incorporate a lot of that into. And I drew the covers. Like I drew thumbnails to the covers. So I have ideas for like what all the covers should be.
That's amazing.
I will give you a taste of that because I don't want to give that away because I do dearly hope I get to do that someday. I start off the book with 4 issues that are one shots based around each character.
Interesting.
So every character gets to have their solo adventure before I join them together.
Mm-hmm.
So, and now in a modern market, that probably would not work. And I'd probably have to do that as a separate miniseries. But they're all tied. I think like Ben has something he does something in Yancey Street. Reed is, he does an experiment that's messed around. I had Sue worked at a food kitchen and then stops a gang shooting.
Oh, that's cool.
And then Johnny, I think, is on a movie set. I think Johnny's on a fake Western, like he's shooting a Western.
Mm.
And then that
feels on brand for you.
Yeah. And then Peter shows up. I have Spider-Man in that one, too.
Oh, that's cute.
But then it goes into this giant conspiracy. I won't tell you this. There is a company in the Marvel Universe that was mentioned throughout the 90s. Throughout the 90s, this company was mentioned and mentioned and mentioned and mentioned. And then I noticed that nobody mentioned it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the idea that mine would be about that company and it would sort of be corporate warfare against the Fantastic Four.
Interesting.
So, because they are a corporation.
Yeah.
You know? So I have like notebooks full of ideas like that. I wrote... ideas for the sequel trilogy
mm-hmm.
before they even did the prequels. Like, so I wrote my ideas for episode 7, 8, and 9.
Yes.
I called episode 7 Balance of the Force.
You and I have talked a lot about those.
Yeah. I've told you what happens in them. I won't say what happens in those because I think if I ever get a chance to do a Star Wars comic book, I can take some of that stuff.
Yeah.
But basically, it's about the Solo twins. It's about Jason and Jaina.
I love
And Luke is their Obi-Wan.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm, but I took like from the expanded universe. I kind of ignore a lot of the expanded universe, but I kind of did their own little thing. And I can't remember what, like what the name of my Darth was. Like I named like a Darth. I had a Darth villain in there because I figured, I was like, you have to have a Darth villain in there.
Yeah.
But I drew pictures, like I designed aliens for that. But like I said, so I think it's funny if J.J. Abrams calls the last of the new trilogy,
which is a rumor, yeah,
Balance of the Force. But I got that because I remember they made a series of action figures and they called them Balance of the Force.
Mm.
And I remember when I saw that, I was like, that's the title of a movie, guys.
Yeah.
So I have those. I think in that notebook, I also wrote like a sequel to Jurassic Park before The Lost World came out. Like I wrote Jurassic Park 2.
Mm-hmm.
So I did stuff like that. But I never actually wrote anything until like high school or college even. I just never did it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I never wrote a comic book until like 5 years ago, to be honest with you, because I just was like, eh, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't become real. Like I think I needed like a thing to be real, but I wrote screenplays all the time. I wrote a play in college that got accepted to the American College Theater. I wrote a one act that got accepted to the American College Theater Festival in the Midwest. So it got performed in front of this large crowd at the thing.
Yeah, I wrote a play in high school that got published in some Canadian high school, you know, like thing that probably doesn't exist anymore. And there's probably no copies of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, mine, because I did the comedy, like it got performed at the festival thing, and I remember I thought I did a terrible job of it, so like my theater director let me direct it myself. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to answer this question. I'm sorry. There you go. I guess
I think you've answered it.
There you go.
I mean,
I think that's
that.
Is that the basis of this whole episode?
Yeah.
How did we get started writing?
Yeah,
that's it.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, the other question.
Any other questions you want to ask me about?
There was like a two part. The other question was what inspires us to write, but I think we answered that pretty fully in our very first Mind University producer video, which is like what inspires us to write comic books.
Oh yeah.
Which people can check out. We shared it on the Patreon. It's public. On our YouTube.
I don't know. It's a tough question. It's so nebulous. It's very tough to answer.
It is tough, but I think everyone has like fun stories like that about, because we all, if you write, most of the time you started writing young, or you started like dabbling in the idea of like creating stories when you were young. And that's always really interesting to me, like what people latch onto, because I think the themes of what you liked and what you played in do affect your work as an adult, because that's why they affected you so profoundly. You know what I mean?
Oh, I wrote a Star Trek series too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's called Star Trek Excalibur.
That's a good title.
And it was about, so I set it during Deep Space Nine and it was about the USS Excalibur going through the wormhole to explore the Gamma Quadrant.
Nice.
Yeah. And then so it was like heavily tied to the Dominion and stuff like that. And da, 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 da. I like it. I think it's got some good stuff in it. It's got some good stuff.
Did you, in school, in my English classes, we always had to like write short stories, like 5 to 10 pages, like every semester?
I think we did. I don't remember any of them.
I would often just write something based in, like, I did one that was set on Deep Space Nine and I just changed all the names.
Oh, yeah. That's an easy thing to do.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I did something like that too. I think I wrote like a superhero comic book story and just changed the names.
Yeah.
And was like, haha. Or no, I wrote an episode of Star Trek and I just gave it to my teacher and just changed the names. Yeah, I did that. Yeah. So yeah. That's now springing bells. Yeah. I don't know.
There you go.
It's kind of died down a little bit.
Well, the fire alarm stopped and I think our energy died with it.
Yeah, I think it's a good place to end it. This is a little bit of a shorter one, but whatever. You know, this is the point where we don't know how to end the podcast. So I guess I'm Jason.
I'm Ashley.
Bye.